Welcome to the newest episode of the Big Shiny Podcast. We're going to talk about some movie news and strawberry jelly.
Oh, God.
No. Jimmy became a member of the Jelly of the Month Club
a couple days ago. And I'm not going to do it again.
Sitting to my right is Jimmy, also known as Mexicus Prime.
Welcome.
Sitting next to him is Tom, also known as Zombietron.
I'll push buttons and shit.
Sitting across from him is Kiltacularatron, also known as Lucas.
I also push buttons. No shit.
Just not during this. Sitting next to him is Kylie, also known as Vagitron.
I am wearing pants and I'm not a fan.
Can I also say I'm not a fan of you wearing pants?
And I, of course, am Tyson, also known as R-Spot. So we're going to kick it off this episode. We're going to be talking about some movie headlines, just general geek news. And we're going to start off with the amazing Spider-Man trailers. And I say multiple because the international trailer and stuff. So we've gotten a little bit more of a look at what seemingly this movie is going to be about. The villains, the plot lines, the Electro story, everything like that. So let's hear what you guys had to say about it.
I'm pretty excited.
I'm still excited to see it. It's still on my...
What do you mean still? Like, did you not like the trailers?
No. I do like the trailers, but again, like, I just keep kicking this horse. I don't think Spider-Man... I think Spider-Man only appeals to nerds, but... And I'm not a nerd, so...
Yeah, his
box office... Well, he's no Spawn.
That's true. His box office record-breaking numbers. It's only nerds.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's just... He's just a fucking nerdy guy.
Sound like a fucking asshole.
No, I just, but I enjoyed these, the new movies, or the new version of the movies, or whatever.
Which version, I don't think we ever asked you, which version do you like better? Do you like the old Raimi ones?
No, the Andrew Garfield
ones. On the same way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Honest to me, it's like, okay, they're doing it. Like, even though I'm not like a Spider-Man aficionado or anything, like, I really feel like they're fucking doing it.
I will say this, Spider-Man really resonates with kids. Like, more than anything.
Huh. Imagine that.
Well, no,
I mean, fucking like, naysayers over here.
No, I mean, he's got a huge audience, like, built-in, like, adult audience, people who, like, read comic books and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, all the superhero films that are coming out now, you've got the X-Men, Captain America, Iron Man, like, just the Avengers as a whole, right? Mm. And, I mean, they got toys galore about that stuff. You go to any toy store, like, what's low on stock? The Spider-Man stuff. And, well, and like, the little kids just, I don't know what it is about Spider-Man, just seems to resonate with little kids more than other superheroes.
And I think maybe because he's kids. Younger than all the other
I think
heroes,
that's part
right?
of it. And especially, like, in the Ultimate Universe where he's, like, what, 15 or something like that when
he dies
Spider-Man?
When he's 16.
Yeah, so he
goes from 15 to 16 in that whole span.
So he's definitely more like a relatable character. Like, hey, I'm going through high school.
Especially
I'm a nerd.
For kids,
I think he was
right?
still a virgin, too. Pretty sure.
In the Ultimate Universe, he died a virgin.
I smelled my fingers. And
well, I don't know. He started dating Gwen, and they lived together in the house, so.
Something, you know it happened.
They never alluded to it. Yeah. They would have.
They marinated.
She lived in my house. It happened.
I
think that's a good point, that it's a relatable character, but then also his scope, his villains, and the smart aleck nature of him, I think it makes it easier to make it an approachable cartoon for kids.
Agreed.
More, yeah, villains. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and so in this film, we're going to get Electro, Green Goblin, and Rhino.
Oh, Rhino.
Some kind of goblin.
That fucking Rhino. Mech
so
suit
it may not
thing.
Be the Green Goblin. I would imagine. I don't even know if they'll call him the Goblin.
So that's the thing. There's been some backlash
Jimmy
about
disagrees.
The look of the Green Goblin. Personally, for me, I actually prefer this look more than the Sam Raimi look, the Power Rangers suit look. I mean, that one, it never really bothered me to the point where it took me out of the movie, but I was just kind of like, I feel like they could have gone a different direction with this.
Definitely.
Like, I've seen the, some of the production art when they were trying to figure out the look for Green Goblin from those Raimi movies. And there's at least two options in there that I was like, they should have fucking done that. That would have been badass.
Did you see the creepy screen test they had of the actual goblin mask?
Yeah.
That shit was creepy.
Yeah.
And that's where people bitch about the comic book. It should match the comic book. And then you see that as a live screen thing, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
And where you're talking about kids liking the character, I think they have to keep it...
Toned down.
Yeah, it can't be quite that terrifying.
Yeah, so...
I would agree with you, though, that I would prefer this look, if you will, over the last
I mean, he definitely looks like a little goblin, right? I mean, you can't argue that, whether you like the look or not, but I prefer the physically transformed version, a la the Ultimate Universe, even though, you know, in the Ultimate Universe, he almost turns into like a Hulk type, you know, character.
Which I think is my favorite version of the Goblin.
Yeah.
Because in the context of the universe, it makes the most sense. Norman's company was commissioned to build another super soldier serum. And so Bruce Banner does that, and he fucks up and turns himself into the Hulk. And then Norman at his company does similar and turns into a Hulk-like creature. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite version of the Goblin right up there. The
Humberto?
Humberto.
Oh, yeah, that one's pretty sweet.
I was so excited when I found that character. And I got the matching Humberto Ramos Spider-Man to go with him, too.
He's a good... I like that dude.
I love Humberto Ramos. He's like him and Scotty Young, those are my two favorite
comic artists. I think the last year or two, he's been the main artist on
the
Spider-Man book. It's on Amazing, and then when it went over to...
I don't mean to derail, but it is coming out on time with him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's great. You should read it.
I'm actually really curious. I mean, it definitely looks like, even in the new official plot synopsis for the movie, they're talking about how Peter kind of starts catching on that Oscorp is behind all of this. So it's like what we've talked about coming out of that first movie. We've got a central point and someone, a kingpin type character, if you will, creating all of these villains out of his, you know, hatred or fascination or whatever it is with Spider-Man. Because in the trailer, it's alluded to that he's got some sort of obsession with Spider-Man. So
I think it's similar to the Sinister Six story in that Norman wants Peter to be a part of what they're creating.
Yeah.
So more of a, like, go out and bring him into the fold. Yeah. Not necessarily go out and kill him.
Definitely.
So, and maybe Harry's then jealous of Peter.
Right. So I want to talk about the Rhino. We don't see him a lot in the trailer, but first let's talk about the villain we do see the most of in the trailer, which is Electro. Mm-hmm. Now, in the film, if you've seen some, like, the different trailers and featurettes out there, essentially... who's the guy that becomes Electro? I can't remember his
Jamie
name.
Jamie Foxx?
Max Dillon.
So he's actually a huge Spider-Man fan, and one day his life gets saved by Spider-Man, and he's like, yeah, you know, got your back, you know, you're my eyes and ears out here. And then whenever he gets these powers, it kind of seems like it's his intention to almost be a hero, but he fucks shit up and then ends up fighting Spider-Man. And there's even a part in one of the trailers where he's like, you don't even remember my name. And Peter's like, fuck. He's trying to remember his name and everything, and then it kind of, you know, he kind of cracks at that point. Max Dillon does. Personally, I like the look of Electro. That one is definitely very Ultimate Universe Electro to me.
I just wanted to add that Electro is someone that I think the majority of the people will be able to identify with, because if any of us got that like similar power or whatever, like tech on us, I think we would like act the exact same way. Like, we would be excited for the hero and we would want to be a part of that, but because we're all goofy or nerdy or whatever, like, we would just fuck shit up on accident.
Well, and the difference is in, like, you know, when because in the first Spider-Man stuff, Peter Parker fucks shit up, but there's not really any other superheroes to call him on his fuck ups, right? Where in this case it kind of changes it a bit.
Yeah,
when it's easy to relate to the some, like, quote unquote underdog, the character that nobody likes, and you feel isolated. And so I think he'll be a good villain, and that you can...
I was also going to say he's kind of like a Harvey, kind of like the Harvey villain for Batman. It's kind of the same sort of like dynamic, I guess.
I would imagine that they're building it up to where he has this outing on accident, goes to talk to Spider-Man, they duke it out, and then Harry approaches Electro, and they team up.
I have a prediction. I think Electro is going to save Spider-Man at some point.
You think so?
Yeah.
Be like a redemption kind of thing.
Yeah, he's gonna be like, I'm sorry, and then the Sinister Six, spoiler alert, is gonna kill him. But I think before he goes out, he's gonna save Spider-Man.
I think Harry Osborn will be introduced and killed in this movie.
Don't do that.
I think so. I think that'll be a catalyst for Norman Osborn to step in and be like you said.
Hey, if that's the case, I'm on board.
Harry won't be called the Green Goblin in this film, and I could see him, you know, becoming that version of it, but never actually being called that. And then his dad being like, well, it worked for him and I'm dying, so I'm going to take this serum. And then he'll become the Green Goblin and then be like the official leader of the Sinister Six. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, in my head, that's kind of the way it goes.
I'm not saying it couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I feel like if there's going to be a death, it'll be Gwen. And I'm feeling more and more like she's going to die in this movie.
I just hope it's soon in the movie and not at the very end, because I don't want it to be like, oh, we're just waiting for it, and then it happens, and we're like, yeah, saw that coming.
I hope it happens in the third movie. I don't want it to happen this movie. I think her dying in the third movie is a perfect like bookend to this trilogy, because you saw, I don't know if you guys saw this, Sony's intention starting, I think, this year with the release of Spider-Man 2, to release a Spider-Man related movie in this universe every single year.
Every
year? Oh, yeah.
Every single year. Like, and I don't know if that's...
So there'll be one next year?
Well, so... It may not be Amazing Spider-Man 3. It might... Because they've talked about doing the Sinister Six movie. They've talked about doing a Black Cat movie.
That Sinister Six thing is going to be fucking retarded. I can't wait.
I still think that if it was me, just based on how movies and trilogies usually go, Gwen will die in the second movie.
You think so?
Because you don't want to end a trilogy on a huge bummer. Yeah, the second movies were like Empire and things, where you leave shit in a terrible state so people will come back for the third movie.
Yeah.
If you end the series, then people are like, why the fuck did I watch three movies to see Gwen?
But maybe Gwen will almost die. And then right at the beginning of the third,
well, finish in off. Interview, she said
I wanna be mad at her and
Mark Webb, they're following the comics closely, and she will follow her arc from the comics. So she said it in a vague enough way to people that she's going to die.
I don't think there's any question that she's going to die.
And it's just a matter of when it's going to happen. And she's wearing the costume, so that's where... It could just be a tease.
That's true.
It could just be a tease to where they're like, hey, nerds, guess what? We didn't actually kill her. But if they're following the comics and they keep saying they are...
Yeah. It could definitely be interesting to have her die in the second movie and then have, like, him just be incredibly pissed off and throw down with the Sinister Six in the third movie. I'd be okay with that. I really like Emma Stone, and I like her as Gwen Stacy. I hate to see her bow out so quickly, but if it drives the story and it makes sense, you know, I'll be on board with it.
I got catfished into some almost naked pictures of Emma Stone earlier this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought I had...
Photoshop, my friend.
I know, I thought I had legitimate naked pictures of Emma Stone. Turns out it was all fake.
Yeah.
Go figure.
It wasn't fake to me.
Instead, you joined the Jelly Club.
That fucking jelly shit, dude, is fucking me up.
Unless you see on MSNBC or Fox News that there are naked pictures of a celebrity, they probably don't really exist. Because they report Denny's on all that shit because it's top news.
Yeah,
because, you know, MSNBC and C-SPAN don't have anything better to report on.
Right.
You've got Obama makes a speech. Right below that would be Emma Stone naked pictures.
No. Obama would be mid-speech. Yeah. Like, sorry, everyone. Breaking news. Emma Watson's tits are on the internet.
Get up there. Very quick.
Real quick. Rhino as a mech.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
I think that...
We've talked about this a little bit. And like I feel like it could be kind of his thing at first, but then he becomes like... More like the classic Rhino afterwards. They're like, well, hey, instead of this mech suit, you know, we're going to make you a true Rhino.
I will say, I want from Rhino is a good goon. I just want him to be like a goon character that wants to like rob banks and stuff.
I think that's all
I want from him. If he can do that, I don't care what he looks like.
Well, I'm kind of hoping he comes into the fold later. Because when I did the trailer dissection of the first one, that's kind of what I thought. The same as Tyson. He'll be in this mech suit. And I kind of want to see... towards the end, maybe Electro or Harry Goblin, maybe not even for the finale, but to approach him and be like, hey man, you should come join us up. And then the third movie is where they reveal.
Yeah, like if the mech suit was supplied by the Russian mafia that he's a part of.
Right.
But then they're like, hey, you know, your Russian mafia mech Rhino suit's a piece of shit. Come step into this glass tube and we'll set you up right.
It's very possible that the mafia that he's a part of either kicks him out or is threatening to kill him because of Spider-Man stopping him from robbing one or two things.
I feel like we have a good handle on this movie already.
And
then we're completely...
Everyone's ideas are more awesome than this movie is going to be at all.
That's the problem with talking about these movies, like the prequels, anyone?
This is one I'm not even excited to go see this movie.
Oh, really?
I might wait for
like
DVD.
Did you like the first one? Like, at all?
Not really.
And I'm surprised, Kylie, because we have similar interests in movies. Well, most of us do, and that's why we're all here, but...
I don't want any of your Baja... No,
I want some of your Sailor Jerry.
You're going to mix Sailor Jerry with Baja Mountain
Dew. No, go ahead. I want to throw up on my shoulder.
It's your laptop that you throw up on. That's all I'm giving you. That's all you get right now.
Yeah, Tom, you're going to get fucked.
If that was like Coke, I'd give you more. Okay. All right, so let's move on from Spider-Man. We talked about it before.
He said he's not excited. I am very excited. Uh-huh. And again, Kylie, I like all the fucked up shit that you do. Even maybe more so, strawberry jelly. but yeah, dude.
I'm excited for X-Men First Class. I didn't think I was going to be for that because I hated the last one.
Days of Future Past.
First Class. That was the one.
Maybe we should start talking about that because there was a lot of cool fan trailer art things. Yeah, you had sent me a link.
Yeah, I think we might end up posting it out. There's been a lot of fan art that they've commissioned to just like posters. And there's a really cool one I'd sent Jimmy with it's all red background and a silhouette of a Sentinel and a silhouette of Wolverine on the Sentinel ripping its head apart.
But it looks like the old like Russia.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the communist posters.
Yeah, yeah. So, like that. Sorry.
So why are you excited about this and when First Class was such a piece of dog shit?
I really don't know, to be honest with you. The trailers made me excited. The Spider-Man trailers, everything I've seen for that, it looks like a video game. Like the big action thing where he's swinging through and Electro is shooting stuff at him. Like, that just looks like a video game right there.
That's fair.
Looks all CG. And I don't know. I'm just not excited. It did not
grab me. You want that raw shit. You want that.
What's the raw shit?
Know what. Help me out here.
Raw dog?
You want some raw dog.
Strawberry jelly?
So let's move off of the
strawberry
superhero
jelly
stuff, the strawberry jelly for a minute. Godzilla. We got a good first trailer featuring Bryan Cranston's character.
He killed it in that fucking. I know it's a trailer and they filmed the movie, but he's killing
it. You know what I wanted to say in that mashup
of Heisenberg and Godzilla.
I didn't see that mashup.
Yeah, they did clips from Breaking Bad of Heisenberg, like all his badass quotes about.
Yeah.
Taking on Godzilla. Yeah. Pretty good, dude.
I would love... If he says just in the movie at any point, remember my name, I will just...
I don't think... You're going to spill that drink. Move that onto the... It's your equipment that you're going to spill it onto. I'm fine with it.
And 3 weeks.
My carpet shows will clean.
Can I have a question about the trailer?
You can shut the fuck up for a second.
I can do that. I'll sip on it.
I grew up watching those Godzilla movies like with Jordan and stuff. Our childhood friend Jordan, we'd watch all the old Japanese, you know, when he's fighting the other monsters and stuff like Mothra. That. Always got a blast out of those. I hated the fucking 1998 film with Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, I didn't like those fucking either.
I hated that shit.
All the Puff Daddy shit.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah,
I hated that music shit. Video. Yeah, that music was on TRL it. For like...
I kept requesting DMX, 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 never got DMX. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. That's where we went there.
Did not care for that movie, and I was really excited for it. I am by no means some hardcore Godzilla fan, but I am very excited for this movie. I'm glad that they're taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the viral marketing, like the Godzilla scale?
Mm-mm.
So no. Part of their marketing for Godzilla is that there's a photograph out there.
All the different sizes.
The different size, like how Godzilla's evolved in size over the time, like movie-wise, right? Yeah, yeah. So you've got the first Godzilla. The new Godzilla for this movie is almost exactly twice the size of that other Godzilla. And it's, so you've got your Godzilla from like the 60s, I believe. And then you've got him from like the late 80s, early 90s. And then you've got they call him Sony-Zilla. for the Matthew Broderick one.
You know what's funny about that Matthew Broderick one? I'm actually finding a lot of people that really dug it.
Really?
Yeah.
Tiffany likes it. She keeps wanting to watch it with me. I'm like,
I didn't
no.
hate it. But
I think Esteban likes it.
It didn't feel like Godzilla, and Godzilla didn't even look like Godzilla. Like, that was my biggest problem with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looked like a giant fucking lizard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this one I'm very excited for. It feels very... what was that? The name of that found footage movie?
Cloverfield,
but like in the right way, right? It's not a found footage movie, but like just the wanton destruction that Godzilla is going to bring down on this place, and they're incorporating like the Japanese element, but since it's an American made movie, you know.
Yep.
I like that we've been, like, part of the trailer, we've been nuking it, trying to kill it, and that's what's making it.
We tried to kill it once in 54.
Exactly.
That's what I was going to say.
What's your quote? What did you want to talk about?
That's exactly what I was going to say, because I interpreted that, and a couple people at work that I was talking to about it, they didn't even notice that. I'm like, no, it looks like...
We're kind of the villains.
Yeah, exactly.
We created it.
Uh-huh. Well, and it feels like, and this is me kind of quoting, so I don't know if I'm allowed to reference other news sources, but IGN actually did a really good Rewind trailer of it. Where they went through it to 15 minutes and they broke it down bit by bit. They made some really good points. But one of the big things is, as you watch the way Godzilla's moving through the trailer, it's almost like a force of nature type thing. Like, he's not really malevolent.
Mm-hmm.
He's just kind of...
Well, and that's how Godzilla's always been.
Yeah, he's like, just kind of doing his thing, and I don't know if I should bring this up already, but did anybody like freeze frame it during the part where the planes are falling into the ocean and see what was going into the ocean with the planes and compare the size?
Mm-mm.
That's got to be Rodan. It has to be.
You think so?
If you look
at the wings, right?
If you look at it, they show the shadow back in the cloud, and the wings are cocked back, so it looks like it's been flapping.
During the trailer, there's definitely monsters in there that are not Godzilla that they're showing, like...
Yeah, like the big crab claws.
See, that would be awesome if in this movie they're like, fuck Godzilla. Like, and right, for half I'm the leaving. Movie, they're like, we got to fucking deal with this Godzilla thing. And then all of a sudden another one shows up, and they're like, okay, let's try to aim this one at that one and hope one of them takes the other one out, and then we can deal with the aftermath.
And the only thing that makes you think about it, and the IGN guys pointed this out pretty heavily, if you freeze frame it when that plane goes into the ocean, if you stop it and back it up, it looks like two silver wings folded back going in, and there's a plane to the right of it, probably 20 feet to the right, and the thing going into the ocean is about 6 times bigger than the little fucking airplane going into the ocean.
Oh,
so it almost makes you wonder, like, are they gonna put like Rodan in this?
Well, and I gotta hand it to whoever cut this trailer together, because it's a 2.5 minute trailer, and you see Godzilla for about 3.5 seconds of that whole thing, and the trailer is incredible. The whole time, like, I was just riveted. You got Bryan Cranston's voiceover, and I'm just like, I'm on board.
Godzilla until you go to the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want
to
see the monster.
I don't want to see him. We saw his face at the very end. You saw his face, which is fine. That's a tease, right? That's all we need to see.
It's Godzilla right on the cover. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm really excited about that.
I think it's one of my favorite, or one of my most anticipated.
Anticipated, sure.
See, when is
that drop? It's getting up there with Captain America.
It's June.
May something.
It's May.
So spring, June, or spring, summer.
Yeah.
So
that's a big season because Planet of the Apes comes out around that same time, too.
There's going to be a lot of good movies
July,
this year.
I think.
And next year's going to be even bigger.
I think Godzilla's May.
Yeah, so it's going to go bam, bam. We're just going to get fucking...
I think that's when Cap is. You got Godzilla. I think X-Men.
What a quarter is that for movies? Is that fourth quarter?
For what?
Movies?
No, it's
major.
That's second quarter.
God, yeah.
That's Q2.
That's Q2, man.
I was going to say, that's pretty good, dude.
Because you got...
So rolling into
August,
the...
September, October's Q3. Yeah.
July 4th weekend.
July, August, September's Q3, and then October, November, December's Q4.
So if you guys haven't seen the trailer...
Yeah, check it out. It's
amazing.
It's a great three.
We've got it up on BigShinyRobot.com. Go check it out. So let's...
I like this.
Let's hit the Fantastic Four casting.
Yep.
So it's been reported that Michael B. Jordan, for lack of a better way to describe him, black kid from Chronicle.
Yeah. That's fair.
Kate Mara. So he'll play Johnny Storm. Kate Mara from House of Cards. She will be playing Sue Storm.
I'm guessing they're adopted in this movie.
One
of them's
going to talk about that.
Either that or Daddy Storm had some fun in Africa.
Miles Teller is going to be playing Reed Richards, and Jamie Bell playing Grim the Thing, which is kind of weird because he's kind of a skinny guy. So right after the casting news broke, I believe Variety broke it. Kate Mara kind of took to her Twitter and was like, I haven't been told that I've been cast. Later that same day that she kind of came out and said that, so this was the day after the news story broke, she came out and said, I haven't been contacted. And then later that day on her Twitter feed, she posted a picture of the Fantastic Four logo. So it seems like there may have been a miscommunication. It sounds like she really is indeed cast as Sue Storm. We do have an African-American playing Johnny Storm. I'm with you. I think it's the adoption route, which I think is cool because, frankly, I liked the kid in Chronicle. He seems capable. He's worked with the director before. I'm down with it.
Let me ask this for all the naysayers before Jimmy throws his limp wrist flick at us. That thing.
You saw that. You see it.
Saw some of that during Street Fighter today. Do we ever meet Sue and Johnny Storm's dad in the comics?
Yeah, he's like a...
I'm not a Fantastic Four guy. That's why I'm asking.
No, he is. He's actually around for a while. He eventually dies, I believe. But he's around, right, Kylie? I mean, he's...
But he's not like a main figurehead. I mean, if you don't read the comics, it's very easy for them to say, oh, by the way, this is my adopted brother, and everyone's happy, right? Like, that's very possible.
I want to jump right in there. And if he's in flames, you won't tell what ethnicity he's in. So why does it matter?
Your race doesn't matter when you're on fire.
So we get it. That's...
So when he's flame off, he looks a little crispy.
All these superheroes are all white, like...
Yeah.
What's the problem with changing it up? You know, well, it's the same shit we went through with Spider-Man.
Really don't this way, if they're not blood relatives, Sue and Johnny.
Well, we went through the same shit.
That's been going through my head since day one. That was my day one Fantastic Four thing. That's
we went through the same shit with Daredevil, Michael Clark Duncan playing Kingpin.
Yeah. It was fine.
And he was awesome.
And hate that movie.
He was the Kingpin. He was the Kingpin. He fucking did it right.
Yeah.
Well, and you talk about, you know, Miles Morales as Spider-Man. I love him as Spider-Man. I love him. And, like, I might have brought some on the podcast, right? But that picture of the author next to that little kid in the Spider-Man. With that little black kid in the Spider-Man suit. Like, that was amazing. It's like, yeah, see, it doesn't matter.
See, I thought that was a really cool picture. Well, but
think about, like, the Marvel Universe, though. Like, you have Storm that's been on film, and then Nick Fury.
Yeah.
But as far as other ethnicities, you don't...
And the cool thing about both those is they're both leaders.
Yeah. In fact, if anything, like, more than Michael B. Jordan being cast as Johnny Storm, I'm more questioning Miles Teller playing as Reed Richards.
Yeah, Reed.
Like,
I think Reed's the most important. Is that fair to say? Did you guys agree with me? I think that's right. Like the fucking dynamite character for the Fantastic Four. He's the most important.
He's kind of like the head of the team. I don't know. The casting, honestly, for me, I'm not thrilled about it, but I'm not upset about it. I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I mean,
I don't know how you
parts could... of it, Kate Mara and Michael B. Jordan, I'm like, okay, great, I'm on board. The other two, not hating on it, but at the same time, like, we'll see what happens.
The other,
like,
two are in makeup half the fucking time, too.
Yeah.
Invisible Woman, how do you even know she's on screen?
Yeah, so I'm good with it. I'm interested to see what they do, because frankly, the last iteration of Fantastic Four on screen wasn't great.
They need to do it do justice. They've the Jonathan Hickman comics from last two years ago were fucking dying. I loved them. You gave them all to me.
That was amazing.
Then I started. I loved those them. I know issue 600 was fucking mind blowing, but all that shit was like my favorite Fantastic Four stuff. Then I went back and read some old stuff from Byrne, I think it was. It's such a good series, and I'm so happy that they are doing it, and hopefully with a good movie.
Well, I'm glad
they're doing it well.
Yeah, doing it well.
The first movie didn't bother me that much. I was like, okay, that was kind of fun. I mean, it was definitely family friendly.
God, that second movie.
That second movie, though,
as well on those original movies.
What's that?
Jessica Alba. That's, I don't know. I didn't like the casting of the original movies.
I didn't.
I thought they got Johnny.
I thought the thing looked like he was in a foam costume. Like he looked like he was in a foam costume. Jessica Alba as Sue Storm, didn't buy it. The other two, though. I was like, okay.
I like the Reed.
Yon Gruffo.
What was Reed?
That's what I just... It was a weird fucking name.
Yeah.
And then Chris Evans is the Human Torch. I thought it was fine.
I even liked Doom.
Doom was horrible. No.
Oh, you didn't like Doom?
I actually liked Doom.
I liked him too.
Mostly because I already thought that guy was a fuckstick from Nip Tuck. So I was like, yeah, no, this guy's a bag of dicks. But the second movie, I was like, no. Like, you made Galactus into a cloud.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah. I'm surprised Matt Page had any tolerance for that.
I've never actually talked to him about it.
I talked to him about it. I think he was actually like, no, I liked those movies.
Which Kylie, so what do you think? I'm excited to hear what you think about it.
So him and I are on
Fantastic Four casting and maybe hopes for a Fantastic Four movie. Like, what do you hope to see they do? Just generalize.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
You're just along for the ride, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you anticipating it all? Do you give two shits?
It's kind of like Spider-Man for me. I don't give
really?
Two shits.
Okay.
I think a big reason for these other Marvel movies that I'm not giving a shit about is, like, you watch that Spider-Man trailer and all the shit's going down in New York, and you're like, where are the Avengers? They'd be there.
Yeah.
I want the crossover shit going on with some of these things, and it's not possible.
Yeah, well, so there's been rumors and talks that... with Fox owning the Fantastic Four and
X-Men,
that this Fantastic Four reboot may exist in the same world as their X-Men. That's the rumor swirling around right now, and that they'll make a connected world between at least the X-Men and Fantastic Four, because those are the two properties they own, and that's their intention. Whether that happens or not, I think if they do that, you need to have some sort of nod right off the bat in this reboot film that it's in the same universe. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have any of the X-Men show up, anything like that, but you need to have some talk of mutants or some shit. You know, like maybe when they get their powers, that, you know, questioning whether or not they're mutants because they know that they exist. You know, something to establish that this is the same universe. because you can't go into this and all of a sudden have one team or another show up in one of the other films without establishing that. At least that's how I feel about it.
I think, I know I probably am on the minority of the side, but I think you're going to start seeing crossovers at some point. I don't think that they're going to keep making this many superhero movies and try to make this much money without at some point it starting to happen.
I don't disagree with you. I just think it's years and years and years away.
I don't know.
Like, I don't think we'll see the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, this rebooted Fantastic Four, or the Hugh Jackman Wolverine in the Avengers.
I don't know. I'm not going
to
call that.
I would love to be proven wrong. I'm not saying I wouldn't want to see it. I'm just saying I doubt it would happen. So are you guys looking at the Jelly Club again?
No. Yeah, there's a Super Street Fighter 4, the Ultra release exhibition online right now, so you can watch
it. And PR Balrog's playing Evil Ryu instead of fucking Balrog.
Well, I don't give two shits, yeah. You motherfuckers.
I gave three shits today.
So
let's So we're gonna take a break here in just a sec, but we do have to address the elephant in the room, which is the untimely death earlier this week of one Mr. Harold Ramis, who...
Right.
I don't know about you. Well, I know Lucas, for one. But myself, personally, that ruined my fucking week.
Well, and like, to show what a big deal it is, so at my place of business, our deposits are picked up by an armored truck. And, you know, every day, they come in 3 days a week. And, you know, same guy. We know him by name. Great guy. He's not geeky in the least. Dude does not play video games. I know him well enough to know this. He asked me questions. Oh, like, I'll be on lunch watching Street Fighter. It's like, oh, what are you doing? Watching Street Fighter. The hell's that? Like, that's the kind of guy he is, right? He's a security guard with a fucking gun. So he walks in and he goes, damn shame about Harold Ramis, man. Damn shame. And I kind of look at him like, what? Like, it's not just a nerd loss, I feel. I feel it's a comedy loss in general, which is super depressing. Yeah.
Like, if you found... name a funny movie that you watched growing up from the 80s. Like, yeah. Harold Ramis was either a producer, an actor, or a director, or had his hand in the script of it. I mean, we're talking Groundhog Day, of course, Ghostbusters, Stripes... Christmas Vacation, the original vacation movie with Chevy Chase. I mean,
one of my favorites.
The guy was like the epitome of funny. Well, I mean,
won't go into it too much because I didn't want to, but he started a lot of people's careers. Like Bill Murray started in Meatballs, his next movie was Stripes.
Yeah,
he hit it kind of big in Caddyshack and then Ghostbusters without Ramis. Yeah. And Ramis cast him and he wrote those scripts to give softballs, they said, to Bill Murray. You had John Belushi cast in most of those movies, and then he passed away.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have Bill Murray without Harold Ramis. You wouldn't have a lot of these actors, including probably Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's fair to say, I mean, the guy had a great sense of humor. I mean, my favorite memory is the scene in Orange County where he takes the speed instead of the aspirin. Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, at this point, he's what, 60 years old, probably 50, 60 years old in this movie?
No.
Maybe
no,
40s. He looks old.
He's 69 and 14, okay, so 10 years ago.
So probably about 54. 60. Yeah. And he's sitting on a curb rocking back and forth with his fingers in his ears trying to come down from a speed high. Like, just great, awesome stuff. Well, and then
playing Seth Rogen's dad in Knocked Up. Like that was really good. And the thing that kind of caught me by surprise, I didn't know this, apparently he'd been sick for the last year with some disease that, like, caused your, blood vessels and stuff to swell and all this stuff. So I didn't even know that he had been ill. I mean, he's kind of not really on the radar. Usually if you heard his name as of late, it was associated with the status, you know, the rumored status of where Ghostbusters 3 was at. So I'd say it was definitely a huge loss to the movie community, anyone that grew up in the 80s watching his films. Tragic stuff. And there was actually a lot of some people have an opinion on this. They say it was inappropriate. I personally thought it was pretty cool, all the fan art that came out of his passing. I mean, you've got so many people today who draw comics or involved with art because they're geeks, and part of being a geek was Ghostbusters. Yep. And so there was a lot of that going around.
And well, and as an artist, that's how you express your emotions.
Exactly. That's how they're dealing with it.
And that one of the that kind of ended up chapping my ass a bit this last week. some of them that I saw may have been the context of which may not have made sense if you thought about it as like a Ghostbusters thing. Like, I won't go to any details because I don't want to pick apart any because they all did it out of mourning. But you can't have a guy that was this important to everybody's lives growing up and inspired so many different things and have probably arguably his biggest thing was Ghostbusters, and he passes away. It's ripe for that to be tied into his death. You know, mm-hmm. he's passing away. He's going down to the other side. That's the, for someone to make that connection and make that kind of art. It's a no brainer, you know?
Yeah.
So then to be frustrated with that, it's like,
well, and from an acting standpoint, I would say most people's exposure to him was probably Ghostbusters.
Right.
They actually interviewed the guy. Probably the piece of art that went around the most was the three Ghostbusters standing back waving and Egon was hovering above the trap. They actually interviewed the artist of that.
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah. And it was pretty interesting. He's like, he kind of said the same thing. Like, this was my way of mourning with it. Ghostbusters is like my all time favorite movie. Love Harold Ramis. This was my way to deal with his passing. And I guess he'd gotten some criticism because they're like, well, the Ghostbusters wouldn't fucking trap him and put him in the containment unit with all the other ghosts and stuff. And he said, he's like, that wasn't my intention. Like, in the movie, he mentions he wonders what it's like to be in that trap. And he's waving to him, you know, with the intent of, hey, guys, it's going to be all right.
Like, well, and like with, you know, think about that line. This reminds me of the time he tried to drill a hole in your head.
Yeah.
That would have worked if you had stopped me, right? Like, that fits his character perfectly. He would probably be like, hey, put me in the fucking trap. Like,
yeah.
Wait, I can go in. I want to know what it's like. That was the whole thing of Egon, right?
Yeah. I could see Egon very well being like, guys, I died. And they're like all sad and be like, no, 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 no. No, no. Hear me out. Put me in the trap.
I just want to know.
This is an extraordinary opportunity. Like, I don't know.
Outside of the context of Egon, I think Harold Ramis himself.
Right.
Wherever you believe he is or isn't, like, if he was here, I would think you'd be flattered that people were this big of a fan of him, but then also were tying it to a franchise 30 years old this year.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I would think that he would think even the jokes or the gestures would be... they would flatter him. It wouldn't be something he'd be offended.
Well, and any of those actors involved with that movie, even as snarky and bitter as Bill Murray acts towards these kind of things sometimes, that's how many franchises that are created today are going to last 30 years?
Yeah.
Hardly any.
Yeah,
and Ghostbusters has been around for 30 fucking years.
Sorry, Kylie. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, 30 years. My wife, a couple years ago, had not seen Ghostbusters. We sat down and watched it.
And
I still married her.
But
sat down and watched it, and she was like, she was laughing at the, you know, laughing at the jokes.
Right.
Thought it was a great movie. And 80s movies are different, right? Mm-hmm. There's not like some big CG climax every 20 minutes, right? It's a very slow pace and everything. We haven't sat down to watch the second one. I have to. You know, kind of gear myself up for the second one sometimes but anyway.
Your
that's,
love.
Yeah, that's
I like
here.
It.
It's so good.
That's I neither like here. Yeah, I do too. But it's neither here nor there. It's a franchise that's been around forever. I don't think Harold Ramis or his relatives that he's left behind found any problem with the outpouring of support, even if 90% of that was Ghostbusters related. They shouldn't have a problem with that. I mean,
well, let's be honest, like, if I was Harold Ramis' son, one of his sons, or his daughter, or his wife, I'm probably not on the internet right now. I'm not spending this week where my father or husband has passed away looking at this shit.
Yeah.
You know, I've got other stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that argument.
And on the off chance, really, like, people are sending you links like, hey, look at all. I mean, personally, you know, if my father had made a cultural impact like that and then passed away young like that, and I got online and saw all of this art, you know, this outpouring,
I'd be in tears.
Yeah. I'd be like, this is incredible. So, yeah. So, I mean, wherever he's at, you know, hopefully he's resting in peace. And, you know, I think I speak for everybody when we say thank you for everything that he's provided to the comedic community, the film community, the geek community, all that shit. So, on that note, don't mean to leave it on a bummer note, but we'll be right back with the second half of Big Shiny Podcast, so stick with us.
Hi, this is Mike Pilot.
And this is Brian Young with the Full of Sith Podcast.
And Kinsetta Parker couldn't join us for this little promo right now. She had to run off and do some important work at Rancho Obi-Wan. But let me tell you, if you listen to our podcast, Full of Sith, These are the kind of things that you're going to hear.
Yeah, that's basically his entire move. That's what he does. J.J. Abrams makes movies that feel like Spielberg.
Because if you work at Lucasfilm for almost a decade, it's kind of like beaten into you. It's like boot camp.
But I like that movie, and I think most people do. And you shouldn't let that kind of stuff get to you. And you don't want to know what his reaction was?
Ugh. It's a dream come true. I'm on a Tauntaun.
No, he knew he was going to make it. He did the electric slide before. He knows what it's like to do the big... What is that called? The big wet and ride or whatever it's called?
The slip and slide.
Yeah, the slip and slide. Yeah. He knew. He knew what he was doing.
He knew. He absolutely knew.
I say, the worst thing Luke lost there was his masturbation hand. And then they gave him a robotic hand that probably doesn't get tired. And I probably shouldn't have said that, but it's true. I don't know. He handled it better, Travis.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm leaving it back at the loss of his hand.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy, and we shall have peace.
The Full of Sith Star Wars podcast. You can check us out on iTunes or fullofsith.com. We're everywhere.
And you're Full of Sith.
Welcome back to the Big Shiny Podcast. We are going to take the next half of this podcast, and we are going to talk about...
Penises.
Yeah.
So, we'll start with mine.
Tom, we got two more sections to go. You got to slow down on the booze.
Yes, sir.
And you're the designated driver, you dumb fuck.
We call this the exciting part of the podcast.
The dangerous
we call this
part.
The fucking taxi
Will
cap.
Jimmy make it home alive? Tune in next month for...
Next month!
Meanwhile, in a drunk driving accident...
Strawberry jelly Jesus later.
Christ.
This is the state of the podcast. We make fun of DUI accidents.
Apologies to Baca.
And my dad.
So let's kind of kick this off. We want to talk about like the Marvel Cinematic Universe and kind of where it's headed. But to kick this off, let's talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer that finally dropped.
Oh my God.
Burt fucking Macklin. So first off, I just want to kick this off by saying the Indiana Jones intro to that trailer.
Oh yeah.
Was fucking fantastic. Like that was pure fucking genius. That whole trailer. I mean, here's the thing. I've been looking forward to this movie because I'm like, this isn't Thor. This isn't Captain America. This isn't Iron Man. Yeah. This is some new shit, right? That trailer came down and I was like, I thought I was excited before. Holy shit.
I got some just floating in the air. You're going to think it's blasphemous, but...
I'll listen anyway.
The Ghostbusters element to it because... Shut the fuck up. It's a fucking comedy.
The paranormal element?
Yeah, well, no, it's just a fucking comedy with all these fucking funny people together. Well, arguably funny. It's all these funny people together, and then you throw a little, like, nerd element, which is the Marvel Universe. I think it's going to be, like, I'm not saying it's going to be the fucking Ghostbusters, because nothing's going to be the fucking Ghostbusters, but it's going to be in that same fucking, you see what I'm
Thor
throwing out?
Thor 2 had a lot of comparisons to the Ghostbusters.
You're talking about a really funny movie,
a legitimately funny movie, yes.
With badass action
in it. Well, a big blockbuster. Ghostbusters is the first comedy blockbuster.
And jokes, and jokes that adults will get while their kids are there, but the kids won't get it.
Right. It'll just be and they're not off color either, right?
Sure.
They're like the Walkman.
All these guys are a-holes. What is this quote?
Man, these guys are a bunch of a-holes.
See, they get the point across. That's still funny for all of us at this table, but it's PG enough for the kiddies.
I like when they're in the lineup and he's doing the whole little... starts to blur out his finger.
And it blurs out, the computer blurs it out.
How fucking good is it going to be? I think it's going to be... I think it's going to blow your fucking head off.
Like, there's going to be people that are going to see this trailer.
Yep.
They're not going to... They're still not going to get it. And they're going to think that trailer was just supposed to be funny. And they're not like they're going to be like, oh, the Avengers was awesome. We're going to go see this. And they're going to walk into the like most irreverent superhero movie they have ever seen and be pissed. Well, I'm so excited.
Let's face it. In the cinematic Marvel universe, there's no anti-heroes yet.
Nope.
And that's – I mean these guys aren't like
– Cinematic Marvel. Say that. It's cinematic. Yeah.
There's no Deadpool type character in this universe yet, right? And these guys aren't that level of anti-hero. But these are the Han Solos of the Marvel universe, right? They're the reluctant heroes. Yep. That are going to get thrown into a situation and have to save the day, not because it's right, but probably just because they don't want their asses blown up. Right. So I think this is
so
the best comparison for me is the first Iron Man movie, right?
Yeah.
Iron Man at that point was a B-list character in comics and everything. He wasn't the most popular character. And that's the movie Marvel led off with. People who have never read a single word from a single page of a single comic book in their lives flocked to that fucking movie from word of mouth and just the quality of movie. I think Guardians of the Galaxy is like, it's going to repeat that Iron Man, that magic of the first Iron Man.
It has the chance. And, like, I mean, just the whole thing of, like, he calls him, you know, they call him Star-Lord. Who calls him Star-Lord? Well, himself. he does. Can I stop the podcast real quick? Behind you, there is a light bulb sitting ever so beautifully on that shelf. Did you make that in crafts class in junior high?
Yes.
Just making sure. I threw mine away. Continue the podcast.
Yeah, so I'm so excited for this movie. I mean, I'm excited for the second Captain America movie as well.
Oh, my God.
But Guardians of the Galaxy, holy shit.
Well, like, and I think, like, it's going to be this really awesome – when does it – is it come out this summer?
It's August.
August. So I feel like
we're – it's going to cap off the summer.
Yeah, we're going to get, like, amazing action movie. Godzilla, Captain America.
Apes, Planet of the Apes.
All this really awesome nerd shit. And then, like, we're going to go into, like, the fourth quarter, which for me is a really fucking awful, stressful time. And we're going to roll into this time and have this just absolutely amazing, hilarious space movie.
It's actually third quarter.
Third.
Yeah, but that's going to set the tone for fourth quarter. Everything from August on in my mind is fourth quarter, baby. That's all it is. Fourth quarter.
Yeah, I Kylie, just...
interested to hear what you think.
Yeah, you're,
you fucking hate everything. What's your take?
No, when I saw the trailer, I was excited to shit, but I was worried that... That trailer was definitely made for, like, the fanboys.
Oh, yeah.
So I watched that, I'm like... This is great, but how many people are going to see this and go, does that tie in Iron Man and the Avengers and all that?
I think it's universal enough. Like, I've never read a Guardians of the Galaxy comic. My only experience with the Guardians is through Marvel vs. Capcom, and that's because Rocket Raccoon's in the game and Nova is in the game. I guess Nova's not really part of it, but the Nova Corps
But the Nova Corps is.
Oh, right. And so, for me, I was super stoked, and I don't know jack shit about Guardians of the Galaxy except that Rocket Raccoon's funny as hell. So I think it's cool.
But they could say something like, man, that Ryder guy's a dick or something like that, you know? And then, like, a nod to Nova, Richard Ryder. It would be awesome if they did something. Because with a PG-13 movie, they're allowed to say a certain amount of words.
One F word,
yeah.
If they use it on Nova, it'd be so good.
They're not going to drop an F bomb.
No, just dick. No, just like, oh, man, that guy's such a dick. And he just, like, flies past him. I don't know. I know how we always throw out those, like, what ifs, but.
Which, speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, there's a Groot, and I don't think it's official, but there's a Groot Twitter account that basically every 2 to 3 hours tweets, I am Groot.
Well, that's all he says.
It's good shit. It's pretty amazing.
All he's slated to say in this movie as well.
I am Groot, yeah.
I hope that's all.
I think so.
Yeah. There's probably some grunts and groans.
So who's playing Drax the Destroyer? Is it?
It's some fucking UFC Bautista.
Right? Yeah, Bautista.
And I heard somebody the other day say they wish it was Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No.
The Rock.
But I think Bautista looks like a good-looking Drax the Destroyer.
I think the cast is well done.
It's a great cast.
I'm not a fan of Zoe.
Oh.
But, I'll deal with it.
I'm still hyped for it.
Zoe Saldana?
Yeah, Zoe Saldana. She's the green chick.
Playing Thanos' daughter.
Yeah. No.
Gamora?
Gamora.
Yeah. Is Gamora Thanos' daughter?
Oh, spoiler alert.
Fucking A. Don't read IMDb. Kylie just ruined the movie.
I'm sorry. Do you guys not read the comic books?
Not Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, it's good.
This whole shit that was just going on right now was all about Thanos.
What's a comic book?
Lucas, you're quiet over there. What do you think?
I'm trying to figure out if this is actual news before the gaming thing.
Lucas, hey, Luke.
Lucas is Twitter.
So is my thing that I'm saying kind of make it sense? I'm not saying it's going to be the next Ghostbusters, but it's the same type shit. Yeah, same formula, but for this new generation of.
Well, and I think Star-Lord, because that's, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm terrible with actors, but that's the guy, that's the guy of Parks and Rec that shines shoes, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be,
Macklin, you son of a bitch.
He's fucking awesome as Andy. I can't wait to see him as Star-Lord. I think he's going to be great.
Especially if he wore a rat.
Was that band called Rat? They're called Rat
Mouse.
Rat Mouse. Rat Mouse. If he wore like a Rat Mouse T-shirt, I would lose my shit.
One of the little spoilers I've heard was at the end of Captain America. One of the end credit things was that's going to lead into Guardians was something from the soundtrack where it says the title of the track on the soundtrack is Quill's SOS, which I guess is going to lead into.
Well, Guardians. So my understanding though is that Captain America 2 is supposed to lead directly into Avengers 2.
That's what I heard. Post-credits.
Well, and what about the rumor that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer is going to play before Captain America 2?
That's not a rumor.
That's actually happening. That's a thing.
Didn't I read that?
This
on
guy has
our
a
show?
Habit of like, I can't remember if it's a producer, but
that's
of
how
posting
they're sell the tickets
and then
yeah.
getting in trouble
yeah. and then pulling it down right away because right. he did that with some of the screenshots and different things.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I can't wait to see that piece of shit before the movie.
I so, think Thor introduced you into the fantasy realm of the Marvel Universe in a right. way that everybody actually enjoyed it. Surprise to me, and I think that Guardians will be that for the science fiction universe so, aspect of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and to argue
if
that,
they do it right.
And to argue the Thor point, I have an employee, nice young lady, the as far off the reservation as you can get into what I do, right? She does not read comics. She her hobby is trail running and fucking lifting weights. Like she's just,
lesbian.
Yeah. No. Oh, okay. No. Her boyfriend's pretty fucking manly too. Awesome Jolly guy. Club. Scares the shit out of me. But talking to her, she comes into work today. She goes, "So I watched Thor 2 last night." I was like, "Oh, you did?" She's like, "Yeah, it was really good."
You're and like, "Oh yeah."
I spent.
What about it?
I spent like 2 hours trying to wrap. So I mean, I think Marvel. And I know we've said this a lot, but I really feel like they've got their shit together, you know?
Well, and I think this is definitely their first, I would say Thor was definitely a quote unquote, for lack of a better term, risk for them because it is such the fantasy angle. This one's more of a risk though, because this left is going to take, yeah, this is left field. This is a galaxy far, far away. This is, I'm going to be very interested because you know that there's going to be some sort of nod or tie-in during that movie to the Ultimate Universe as it pertains to Earth. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to see how they tie that in. I can't see them going 2 hours without some nod, some reference, something to the Avengers and stuff and what's going on Earth. You know, maybe they reference the, you know, attack on New York from the Avengers. You know, something, but I'm very curious to see that aspect.
Oh, I'm sure they'll reference it.
I think we're all on board then for Guardians, right?
I'm super excited.
Yeah, definitely on board. So, I think we're definitely at a time of change for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, we had our original Avengers team established and we had the big Avengers movie. And now we've moved into officially phase two with Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Captain America 2, and Guardians of the Galaxy that comes out this year. Definitely with Guardians of the Galaxy, it seems like it's a tipping point. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. has already said he's not going to play Iron Man forever. So either he's going to be recast or killed off.
I think that's the way they've got to go.
You know, he'll probably step out of the picture and stuff. So let's take a look at the longevity of the Marvel Universe. You know, they're going to be introducing the Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man coming up, right?
And Black Widow's getting her own movie.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
You didn't? Yeah, mm-hmm. She's getting her own solo film. So if you think about
I would love to see something like that with Hawkeye in there as like her sidekick.
Well, either Hawkeye or like this, is it Falcon?
Falcon's Captain America's sidekick.
Right, but he could be in the a Black Widow movie, just like Black Widow's been in all these others. But I think that Robert Downey Jr. is exactly signed on for Avengers 2 and Avengers 3. And so I think between Avengers 2 and 3, there'll be this block of, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah. Well, because he said he's on for Avengers 2 and 3, but no solo Iron Man movie.
Right. So you have that block of 4 or 5 years. I don't remember how much time there is in between, but that you wouldn't have him cast as Iron Man. So maybe during that period, he sows his oats and then decides, you know what, I would like to do another Iron Man or two, but they have enough franchises to fill in that gap. I wouldn't write him out.
Yeah, well, and I'm definitely not, but they've got to keep.
I know
the,
he's said that,
he could,
but it
he could actually
me if he comes back.
Still stay Tony, but build suits for another guy, and just say, "Yeah, Tony, he's willing to give me the suit and do like a War Machine thing."
What
like,
if they have that many characters? You may not need Iron Man every Avengers movie.
Yeah, because
movie, you know?
I think they will fill that snarky void with like the Star-Lord and different. Characters.
I'm hoping so with Paul Rudd. Which is amazing.
Ant-Man. Yeah.
Who doesn't like him?
Yeah. So I think, though, you know, we're definitely going to see, we'll see some new characters integrated into the Avengers, I think, in Avengers 2. Mm-hmm. You know, Ant-Man's not coming out till after Avengers 2, correct?
It's going to be so good.
It's after. It's the same year. It's the fall. I think you're going to see
Hank Pym.
Hank Pym, yeah.
Yeah. So he might make an appearance in there, but I think something's going to happen in Avengers 2 to serve as a catalyst that we see a different team for Avengers 3. I mean, you still might have your Captain America, but and your Iron Man and stuff. But I think we might be seeing a larger focus on a bigger Avengers team. Because they gotta think about the longevity of the Marvel Universe. I mean, a lot of these actors, you know, they don't want to get pigeonholed into this stuff.
Well, and if you give them time to, okay, well, we're done with Thor for 3 or 4 years, yeah, then he can go do other movies things, and then come back and do Thor again.
Yeah, so the Marvel Universe, I think it's changing. I mean, we've got, like I said, we've got your standard Earth stuff, we've got your fantasy stuff with Thor.
Let's talk about the Defenders.
What's that?
Let's talk about the Defenders.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fucking God. Defenders. Jimmy, you want to talk about Defenders? How much
money did we look it up? It was $200 million.
Yeah.
Was it right? That Netflix is putting into...
No.
Sorry, on Netflix, but the Marvel's putting into the Netflix series on Netflix.
Right. So they're expanding... So they've already started expanding out of the movie theater, right? So you got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which...
Meh.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's not great.
Yeah.
I've heard it's gone really good.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing, but I dropped off after 5 episodes.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's not great.
Stopped right before it got good.
Yeah, that's and I want to go back and start watching it, but at this point...
I know what Tahiti is.
I do too. I looked it up. Oh. I don't care about spoilers, so I just like, oh, they revealed Tahiti tonight? Google.
And it's sad. I feel bad that I was right without watching more than 3 episodes.
Yeah, but... So, I mean, we're already expanding TV, but the biggest thing for me is that they're expanding to Netflix, right? So, Netflix, we're getting a Daredevil series.
Badass, yeah.
Right? We're getting Luke Cage, and we're getting...
Alias, that... Luke, what's the alias girl?
Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
And Iron Fist.
Dude, that Iron Fist, so, I'm excited for.
And then they'll culminate in like a... So each person's going to get their own series, and it'll culminate in like a 3 or 4 episode mini-series of the Defenders where they join up, right? Mm. And we've talked about this before. The great thing about them is they're the ones on the streets, right? Yep. They're the ones apprehending the crooks, the guy who just ran off with the old lady's purse, right? Yep. That's what they're doing. And like Lucas said, we just found out that they're shoveling a shit ton of money into these.
More than any other series
that they've gotten. We did the math on this, and... It's something like it came out to something like $300,000 per episode. Like that's
bananas, dude.
That's high production value.
That's 2 of my houses per episode. Yeah. They're buying my house twice a week. Those fuckers.
Fuckers.
So do you think Hulk or Strange is going to be in this?
So that's
or
the thing.
Namor or
keep
Silver
talking
Surfer.
About, so they
Namor's so dumb.
No,
I don't think we're gonna see Namor Dark for a while because
I want to say some other company has the rights to him.
Namor
at the moment.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's probably some Fox. Fox because he's related to the Fantastic Four.
No way, really?
Yeah.
So they're just like sitting on him and not doing anything with him.
Fucking Namor. Yeah, like what the fuck are you gonna do with Namor?
But why would you buy the rights for somebody you're not?
Well, you're right. He is in Fantastic Four because he fucks Sue. Yeah, he does. I remember that shit. Remember the Jay Lee shit. He's having an affair with Sue. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, she's getting fucked by the Lord.
Okay,
of the
original Defenders was Namor, Silver Surfer, Strange, and Hulk. So I think it would be cool if they had Hulk because I know they own Hulk. They could say like Hulk could be like a father figure. Like, all right, when I used to fight crime, they could have like Bruce as the fucking.
That ain't gonna happen.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, that's the fucking Defenders. I'm telling you who the Defenders are. Strange, Hulk, Namor, and then later on, Surfer.
Yeah, but the Defenders we're getting is like the newer version with Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, and, Daredevil's never really officially part of it, but...
I'm just saying, if they had someone be like, when I was on that fucking thing, this is what we did. Like, just some, like a leader from the squad.
How does Universal have Namor?
They don't
and
have
that's from Dark
else?
X-Men, and that's fucking good.
That's fucking weird. But
yes, sir.
So it'll be interesting to see how they tie that into the bigger Marvel universe with references or anything like that. I mean, with that high of a production value, they could easily get some of the established characters from the cinematic universe to pop up if it felt fluid, right? Like, yeah. I don't want to see Chris Evans just show up because, like, hey, look, it's fucking Chris Evans.
Hey, I'm Chris Evans.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yo, dogs, Mudkips.
But, I mean, we know that they've been talking about a Doctor Strange film for a while. It's eventually going to happen. That's a whole nother area because that's like the mystical part of it now, right? So you've got the fantasy otherworldly stuff with Thor, then you'll have the sci-fi stuff with Guardians of the Galaxy.
And Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
that's infinite
now,
loops.
Yeah, now you're like mystical, right?
Well, it's
a whole other thing.
And it's not going to be crossover-wise, but you have the same studios working on Star Wars and Marvel franchises.
Yeah.
Where there's going to be Easter eggs.
Yeah.
We're going to see the Millennium Falcon in Guardians of the Galaxy at some point, maybe. Or maybe in Star Wars, we'll see whatever ship that Star-Lord flies. Like, that kind of stuff, those guys love doing.
Yeah.
And they can't get in trouble
for it.
Well,
shit, the Millennium Falcon was in Star Trek.
Right, exactly.
The new Star Trek film.
And J.J. Abrams.
It was?
Yep.
Did we report on this?
Yeah, we did, actually.
Hmm.
Challenge accepted.
I don't recall seeing that.
Me either.
It's like one of those things, like, freeze frame or you miss it. Like, it's okay. it's a ship flies by in the background.
That's still awesome.
Yeah.
No, there's cool. A lot of good shit coming out.
This year is
pretty crazy.
I feel like I'm going to be living in a movie theater. Yeah. Oh, speaking... Well, we'll talk about this after the show, but I think we all need to go see Godzilla together.
That probably won't happen, but we will
all
see it.
We can bring your strawberry lube.
Oh, shit. I can bring a strawberry lube. I'm done jacking off. I'm done. Quit.
It'll be interesting to see where the Marvel Universe goes, because they're expanding, and it's like DC still can't get their shit together.
I think that's so funny.
Come on.
There was this great meme I saw the other day on Facebook where it was like, it said, I think it was like Pa Kent talking to Clark, and it said something like, son, the world's just not ready for a Wonder Woman movie. The next one's Rock Raccoon. Here's a talking raccoon.
Sorry, I just blew the fucking
mic. That's the case.
Marvel Universe.
Like, who is DC hiring at this point to get shit done? Like, did
Marvel
pay off?
And it's all been owned by Warner Brothers this whole time.
I've said it before. They should just fucking forget about their cinematic universe and dump all their movie. Are all their money into the animated and live action TV
show? That is good
show.
Stuff.
No one can fuck with them on their anime. Their animated is so. Well,
hold on.
I don't know.
I contest that.
Okay.
Justice League War is dog shit.
Okay. Really? They're allowed one dog shit.
No. Here's the problem. Is it kind of already started like leaning that way in Flashpoint Paradox, which was.
I heard that was awesome. Everyone seemed to love that.
It was fucking awesome. But there was like a couple nitpicky things. I was like, I hope they don't continue this. Justice League War is a direct continuation of Flashpoint Paradox. Because when it comes back to the present, that's how it goes, right? Their intention is to continue to build out this New 52 universe and the stuff in the animated universe. Bruce Timm's not fucking involved with it anymore. They're skipping Court of the Owls. They're going straight to Son of Batman.
Of course, that's too dark. They're not going to do something.
Can you imagine how fucking that would...
There's two...
The pendulum would swing that way.
Yeah. There's two Batman films coming out this year. There's... one that's continuing the New 52 stuff with after Justice League War, which is Son of the Demon.
Okay, that might be cool.
Right, which, okay, that's fine. But then there's also another one coming out that's not in the same universe. It's based in the Arkham Asylum, Arkham Origins, Arkham City.
The video game stuff.
Yeah, the video game universe. It's set in there, which is fine. That's great.
Yeah, well,
the problem is,
we'll talk about it in video games.
The problem is that with Bruce Timm gone, you can see this shit getting dark and... I don't think people quite understand these characters because Wonder Woman's a total cunt.
Like, wait, she isn't? Have you read New 52?
Superman is a
bitch is cheating
posturing alpha male asshole. Like, the magic, I mean, and here's the thing, and maybe it's because my perspective was skewed. I spent like the last month watched every episode of Justice League. Every episode of Justice League Unlimited, went back through, watched all my DC Animated Universe DVDs, all this shit, and then I watched Justice League War, magic was gone. Like, it just sucked everything out of it. It's just so fucking dark. They all fucking hate each other. Wonder Woman makes fun of a guy for having, like...
micro penis?
No, for, like, having... Like, transgender is not the right word. Cross-dressing tendencies.
Oh, okay.
Like, she just fucking makes fun of him for it. Like, so, it's...
I don't think she should know really about... That's not her fucking realm.
Isn't she an Amazon? Well, but, I mean,
well, he calls her...
Right.
That's like calling the cow black, though.
So this guy... Essentially what happens is this guy calls her out of a crowd and is like... Pretty much tells her she dresses like a whore. Right? Because...
And?
Yeah. And so then she lassos him with her lasso of truth and it makes him spit out that he cross-dresses as a woman to feel... because that's how he identifies.
God, that's and fucking
she,
weird.
And she just laughs. She laughs at him and walks away.
You're like eating your kicks. You're like, mom, what's cross-dressing? You're right.
That doesn't. That's not very Justice League. Like, I was gonna try to counter with, you know, in the New 52 before I stopped reading Justice League, you know, because that whole cheetah bullshit.
It lasted about 2 issues.
It was a bad 2 issues.
Well, and hold on, and let me continue with this too. In Justice League War, you know, some of the other characters like Green Lantern and Flash are kind of like,
which Green Lantern?
Hal Jordan.
Oh, okay.
They, you know, they see Wonder Woman, they're like, damn, you know, like the, you know, she's supposed to be kind of the epitome of like female perfection, right? She's an Amazon reaction, right? So they're like. And Superman, like, you can tell that he wants to dick her down.
Which he does.
And him being Superman does, like, this bullshit alpha male posturing to them, really? Like, puffing out his chest, like, my woman sort of shit.
I think that the girl... Wow, let me try that again. I don't mean to sound like
Chris fucking Cross, but that is pretty wiggity-whack.
It's just, it doesn't feel like... It's not the Justice League... I mean, as far as the animated version goes, I understand like stuff's getting darker, but it's like you watch all this like Bruce Timm stuff. You watch the Justice League
It's not Twilight. Like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like the Justice League, the New 52, was getting. I mean, Batman had, you know, his kryptonite for everybody, right? And they kind of had that built in, and they were always fighting amongst each other. But it never reached that, like, that. They're not all high school kids.
Yeah, and that's how this happened. Yeah. They all just fighting amongst themselves. It was.
Why are they fighting over a girl? Power Girl, her tits are always out.
Yeah.
Let's talk about her. If I was Hal, I'd be like, fuck Wonder Woman. Yeah. You can have that.
And I didn't mean to derail this Marvel conversation over to DC, but yeah, Justice League War, I did not enjoy it at all.
War, fucking Starfire. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's going on Twitter, Jimmy.
Hold on. Thanks. Because that's what I fucking need. All right, let's talk about... nothing.
We're gonna actually end this episode.
Can I end this with this? Shout out to Ben. He did not like Court of Owls.
What?
It's because Ben's a fucking idiot. I said it, Ben.
He didn't like
Court of Owls. Big tall motherfucker. Next time I see you, I'm gonna call you Glassjaw. I'm gonna break your fucking face.
The next time we see Lucas, he's got two black eyes and a broken arm.
Well, man, quick. Ben's got problems with his knees. Get in now.
I call you Glassjaw.
Holy shit! Break
your fucking
holy
face. Shit! Fuck yeah! He liked Nemesis, which is the fucking debate for the rest of my life. He liked Nemesis. Did not like the Batman. Or
Nemesis.
Yeah.
Nemesis?
You didn't like Nemesis. No, I loved it.
What
Nemesis?
You didn't like it.
You didn't like Nemesis.
Mark Miller was a white guy.
That was fucking dumb.
We need to have Ben back on so we can debate that once again. Like, all right, it's been like Ben. 3 years. Let's do it again.
Still waiting on part 2.
Oh, in the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
I couldn't care less about either one of those fucking things. Nemesis can suck my dick.
And you're a sour grape.
No, hold on. How often do I just say, no, this is fucking dog shit? I usually find some pretty redeeming points.
I bet if we were.
That's my point, though. That's my fucking point. I did not like that comic.
Can I say some of those dog shit? Kick-Ass 2, the movie. That was fucking awful.
I was laughing. Really? I laughed the whole time.
I didn't see it.
It had that girl from Carrie, and she said cunt, and then stabbed everybody.
But it doesn't make a good movie.
It was a great movie.
They had the girl from Carrie that was from Kick-Ass.
Give me those comics.
Which, by the way, am I the only one here that liked the Carrie remake?
I didn't see it because the first Carrie was just kind of like, eh.
Essentially,
that's how I was.
So here's honestly. All I wanted to see was high school kids getting murdered by a psychic powers.
Oh, no, that was the one part. I went and saw it with my sister, and when she's just rampaging at the prom and killing these people,
I'd
like...
the car into the gas station?
I'm like, yeah.
Shout out to your sister. Yep. She's a fucking cool chick.
Oh,
she loved that
we'll birthday. Do it again.
I didn't know you didn't like Kick-Ass 2.
I just watched it for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the other night.
You didn't like it? Because it didn't follow the comic book that much? Or
it just was bad.
It was pretty bad, but it was funny.
The stuff with Jim Carrey was cool, but spoiler alert, he dies
right
really early in the comic.
But the reason I like the first one is because it's the whole premise. Like, I want to go out and be a superhero, so you buy stuff that makes you a superhero. And the one thing everybody bitched about in the first movie was the rocket launcher or the jetpack. And the entire second fucking movie is that shit.
Yeah.
There's no fucking, like...
My thing was like, just go for it. Like, I don't...
I have to say, though, the scene where the motherfucker has his mom's anal beads... and it's like 6 feet long. I was in tears.
But that's like the whole movie. Funny. It's just like,
yeah, it was
dumb
way
dick
bad.
Jokes, which is fine. But like,
have you listened
based
to
on
our
what
podcast?
Miller was trying to do?
I is someone's phone going off? What's going on?
It was in my hand.
Of course, it was Tom.
He's got two.
I see you've got a text message, you stupid son of a bitch.
Oh man, she's not wearing any clothes, Tom. Huh? Hey, let me text her.
If it's on my work,
isn't that your cousin's name?
Like I said.
All right, we're just dragging this shit on.
Yeah,
so
we went from point A to T. Yeah,
we went from Marvel to DC to just a bunch of random shit.
Yep.
So, all right, so we're going to wrap it up. Join us next week. We're going to be talking comics and collectibles, and we have got a lot of shit to talk about. A lot of collectibles coming out, stuff that's come out.
I have a lot to talk
We've got
about.
Cataclysm that's wrapped up, right?
Yes.
In the comic universe.
I didn't read it yet. Do you have it with you?
No. We're going to spoil the shit out of it for you, Tom. So join us next week. Thanks for listening. Did you have one final point?
Fuck you, Tom.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this month's Big Shiny Podcast. Be sure to check out other podcasts in the Big Shiny Robot Podcast family, including the Big Shiny Girlcast, Laser Brain, and the Big Movie Mouth Off. And for all you Utah local residents, be sure to check out the Big Shiny Geek Show Pub Quiz every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. at Lucky 13.